Yeah, very good evening to you. You're welcome along to a Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. I hope we do find you well. We're on the eve of a defeat in the All-Ireland final to Mayo. But nonetheless, plenty of football chat between now and 8 o'clock. And we bring you right across the homecoming here in Tralee as well between now and then, as well as having our panel of guests, Liam Brosnan, John Kennedy and Andrew Moynan to dissect yesterday's defeat to Mayo in the decider. As ever, you can get your comments and views into us. You can text or WhatsApp 083 300 3300. You can call 066 712 3666 or you can email terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. But our defeated All-Ireland finalists unfortunately have returned to the Kingdom, and we can head to Tralee train station where Mark Lynch is standing by. Mark, the Kingdom are back home.
They are indeed, Ivan. Yeah, they just landed in there about 15 minutes ago or so, maybe a small bit longer. The train arrived in about 20 to 6 maybe, and they spent, I suppose, about 10 minutes getting everyone off the train. It wasn't just the players on it. It was girlfriends, family, wives, etc., kids on it as well. So got all them off. Players were last out then, along with the backroom team, Jack and his backroom team as well. They're on that bus with the last maybe 10 minutes. They're making their way up John Dertie Road at the moment, and that bus is currently just outside Offa Stack Park, actually, moving at about a walking pace. So if there's people waiting around in Tralee Town, you're waiting just a few more minutes. They'll make their way down Boherby, down Castle Street, and onto Denny Street then for the stage at the end of the parade. There was, I'd say, about maybe 100 or so people at the train station waiting for them, mainly kids. And as I was saying on the news, you know, kids just looking for autographs and looking for people to sign the jersey and you know, have a quick word with them. And in fairness, any players who were asked were obliging in that regard as well. And credit to them for that as well. It can't be easy with the circumstances. The players, I remember from parades gone by when Kerry have won, the players are kind of hanging out the top of the bus. Not exactly the case this evening. They're kind of more sat down in a much more civilised fashion. Again, understandable given the situation. But that bus now is just about coming up to the roundabout at Offa Stack Park, Ivan. So it'll be down Boherby, down Castle Street, and it'll be with the people in Denny Street very shortly. This is Mark Lynch here for Radio Kerry.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mark. If you're still there, Mark, obviously, look, it's obviously a small bit of disappointment, I'd imagine, felt by all those players, but heroes nonetheless, and great to see the kids are still out there getting autographs and everything for them. And we have to remember, these are the heroes that brought Sam Maguire back last year, and maybe despite not having one more guest on the bus with them this year in the Sam Maguire Trophy, this is still a young Kerry team, and maybe the experience of tonight even and yesterday was sent to them going forward as well.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, look, I'm from Kerry. I grew up here. I have been to the train station as a child, even welcoming teams back into Casement Station there. And, like, those kids there this evening, they'll remember that for the rest of their lives. Remember the day that David Clifford signed my jersey, or Paddy Clifford signed my jersey. Kieran Donaghy was even signing jerseys. Do you know, and that, like, it's a small gesture on their part, but it means a lot to the people involved. So that's great to see as well. And as you say, look, this team will be back as well. I think there's a bit of a glumness around just a small bit, obviously, when the players arrived in, none of them really too happy to be there. Again, that's very understandable, but for the supporters there, like, as you say, it's their heroes, you know, that's just to get up close, have word with them, get the jersey signed, it means a lot. And I'm sure the players, although maybe they're not hanging out the top of the bus, I'm sure they feel that and appreciate that as well.
Yeah, thanks very much, Mark, and we'll leave you go down to Denny Street and enjoy those scenes down there. It's always lovely welcoming the team back, win or lose, so hopefully there'll be a good crowd. And as I say, they're just turning at the roundabout, heading towards Castle Street to get down Denny Street as well, so you still have time to make your way down there fairly lively. We can cross to John Drummy, who is at the stage now in Denny Street. John, what's the atmosphere there like? I imagine it's a small bit subdued, but nonetheless still plenty of green and gold jerseys and flags ready to welcome our heroes home.
Well, let's say what a difference 20 minutes can make, Ivan, because it was very subdued in terms of numbers, but the numbers have swelled considerably. There's a very big crowd here on Denny Street as I'm standing at the foot of the stage looking up Denny Street. The team, I'm sure, will be coming along very, very soon on the bus. There's a very good crowd here. There's a lot of colour, and it's great to see it. And there's a lot of happy faces, to be quite honest. Look, Kerry have won 39 All-Irelands. Mayo have won 4. And as I said on air yesterday, talking to Liam and Billy and so on, if you want to lose to a team in an All-Ireland final, I don't think we're going to mind too much about losing to Mayo. No, We didn't want to lose. The lads didn't go out to lose. But we know there'll be another day. There'll always be another game. And I know you'll be coming back to me shortly when the team do start making their way down Denny Street. But it's great to see the crowd starting to come wearing the green and gold and any other Kerry colours that they have. And we're still encouraging people to come down. There's plenty of time to do so.
Yeah, brilliant stuff, John. And we'll be back to you to get all the scenes when the players get off the bus and, of course, all the speeches and everything as well. So you'll have it all here on Radio Kerry, no matter where in the world you're listening to us. And as I said, though it's not an evening of big celebration in the county, always nice to welcome a team put so much graft in all year since the McGrath Cup run began back in January right through till mid-July. And, of course, these players go off playing for their clubs as well at the weekend after next. What we'll do is we'll go for a quick break and we'll be heading back towards Denny Street as the bus will be turning the corner there very, very shortly. But we'll go for a break here on this evening's Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry Sport.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to the programme. The bus heading ever closer towards Denny Street. We'll bring in our panellists for now while we're waiting for all those proceeds to continue there. Liam Brosnan, John Kennedy and Andrew Moynihan with us as ever. The final inter-county segment of the year. Unfortunately, lads, we're not talking about a victory. Liam, look, I'm going to start by just kind of saying massive congratulations to Mayo first and foremost. I mean, look, the scenes were just absolutely incredible, and I think it's fair to say the better team won on the day, maybe the hungrier team won on the day, the fitter team seemed to win on the day, and you know, you just couldn't begrudge them of that victory. It just, even away from the sporting side, that personal level of 75 years of a wait ending in front of us, in front of our eyes, it was a pleasure to kind of be part of that alone, although obviously disappointing from a Kerry perspective, obviously, but huge congratulations due to them.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, it was after seven before I left Croke Park yesterday. I was talking to John after the game, and you know, but just looking down on the pitch and watching the raw emotion, and even when the final whistle went and the two boys beside me will say the same thing, everyone was crying. I had never seen anything like it, you know, especially in the press box. And there was people who won from Mayo, like I said to John Drumier, they were crying as well. You know, it was just pure raw emotion. And look, we can't begrudge them. I know we're very disappointed today. Look, we still have a lot of pride and everything for the players and the management for the season they're after putting in, because it's a long, hard season. It's a long road to get to an All-Ireland final. You know, the graft, everything, they'll be bitterly disappointed. If we think we're disappointed, can you imagine the players and the family and the partners, because they're starting at the bottom of the ladder again. You know, and I suppose everybody in Kerry will have an opinion, you know, and that's grand too. But the only thing I would say would just keep, if it's not a nice opinion, keep it to yourself, you know, because there's people with ears out there. It's hard for like I said, for the families, for the players. You know, we're all experts, and we all think we're experts. And look, that can be grand too. But I just like to, you know, just put it out there that these boys have put in a massive effort. And they deserve a lot of credit. And we've sat here on good days, and we sat here on bad days, and we'll have good days again. So I just, you know, I think that's going to come around.
Yeah, lovely message, Liam. We do have to remember that these guys are amateurs as well, which is so important, and doing it for the love of the sport. John Kennedy, you did it for long enough as well, and that kind of want to win Sam Maguire for your county. And you have to realise that 75 teams have come from Mayo that haven't done that either, so this is the disappointment that they've been feeling, you know, for those 13 All-Irelands they were beaten in over that spell of 75 years as well. So brighter days ahead, evidently, and you know, so many young Kerry players there and everything. This is a team that we'll have going for the next couple of years, so it's all's not lost this evening, if I were to put it that way.
Definitely not, Ivan. I concur with what Liam said. Look, we're going to Croke Park a long time. I remember 75 going up with my late father, and great day for Kerry. And 84 when I was part of the centenary team, great occasion. Yesterday surpassed all that. As a proud Kerry man, I have to say, it was an honour to be in the stand yesterday watching what unfolded in front of our eyes with Mayo. And Andy Moran and his team and his backroom team deserve all the plaudits. They were the better team of the day. We're disappointed, and I know what it's like to be on that bus now. We know that, Liam. We've seen bad days. This Kerry team didn't become bad overnight. They were just beaten by a better team of the day, and they'll bounce back. They'll get back home now. They'll get back to their clubs, and they'll get back to their families, and, you know, they'll lick the wounds, as they say. But we're very proud of them, in fairness, and I'll tell you, we should be very proud of our Kerry supporters. The way they stayed in the stands yesterday to greet Mayo and to be part of what was one of the greatest occasions in the GAA, to be fair. It was a massive day, and you know, to hear the Green and Ready Mayo being sang, and the noise and the reception they got all over the field, it was a historic day in the GAA, and well done to Mayo.
Yeah, and like that, Andrew, as the lads were saying, it was nice to be kind of part of that history. And I know, we're good sporting people. I think the Kerry people understand that. We enjoy watching all sorts of sports. We enjoy a good football match, everything else. So to be kind of part of that historic moment that Mayo, have, you know, that wait is over. Seeing that, you know, so many people around us, you know, crying, they're sitting, standing. They didn't know kind of what to do. It was kind of surreal, and to hear everyone singing, everything else. And although you weren't on the wrong end of it, it felt maybe of all the teams maybe to lose an All-Ireland final to... You just, again, couldn't begrudge them.
No, how could you begrudge 75 years of waiting for an All-Ireland? The scenes yesterday, unlike I've ever seen. I wasn't born for Armagh in 2002. I missed Dublin in 2011. I was actually down the road at my grand-aunt's house, who lives on near Croke Park. So I missed that game, but I could hear Cluxton's roar that day. But yesterday, probably the wildest scenes I've ever seen in full-time in Croke Park. There was pitch invaders.
Yeah.
There was running on the field, going mad. And why not? It's 75 years. I've never heard a roar like it after Dara Byrne got the goal in the second half. I've never heard anything like it in Croke Park. It's like the place erupted. And fair play to Mayo. They absolutely, as you said, there was just hunger there. And Andy Moran, what in his first year in charge, what a turnaround from that Roscommon game, hammered out the gate by Roscommon back in the Connacht Championship, to turn that around and to win an All-Ireland with a young team as well. The story of Kobe MacDonald and a one chance, and he took that one chance. So you cannot begrudge Mayo whatsoever yesterday. The better team on the day, and it won't be another 75 years before they win an All-Ireland.
No, definitely not. It'll definitely be a reeling in the years to remember, I think, 2026. We can head back to the homecoming, and of course the bus making its way towards Denny Street. Our sports editor Joe Mahoney has hightailed out of the office here in Tralee and made his way down to Castle Street. Joe, I'd imagine there's a good buzz as that bus is about to pass you.
Absolutely, yeah. Just standing across Moatney's bookshop, the open top bus led by Pipe Band, and a Garda escort have just passed with a number of fans walking alongside the bus. As you can imagine, a bit of a sombre affair, but look, everyone's trying to put on a brave face in the wake of what happened in Croke Park yesterday. A tough place to be after you've lost an All Ireland final. Great crowds making its way towards Denny Street as well. It's really filled up in the last 10, 15 minutes. The bus travelling at a good speed. They're just passing St. John's Church now in Castle Street. They'll be taking the corner at Denny Street, maybe 3 to 4 minutes' time. Speaking to different people on my walk from Radio Kerry up to Castle Street, I think everyone, it's fine margins. It could have been us with Sam this evening. Obviously, that's not the case, and well done to Mayo after ending their famine. But there's an air of defiance too. I mean, I think gradually the desperation is lifting, and people are saying, look, this is a team still in its prime. We'll be back to compete for All-Ireland honours next year. And the general feeling is we're going to rise again. 2026 wasn't our year, but 2027, we'll be back hopefully doing what Kerry does best.
Yeah, brilliant stuff, Joe, and well said. Joe, we're going to leave it there because we have to take a quick break before the team get down at Denny Street. So we go for that break and we'll be back to John Drummy, who's on Denny Street waiting for that bus to turn the corner in just a couple of minutes' time.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Hi, welcome back to the programme where we head straight back to Denny Street. We believe the bus is now in sight of John Drummy. John.
Thanks a million, Ivan. Yeah, the bus has just turned the corner of Denny Street at the top of the road. It's just passing the pikeman statue now, and the crowd are getting very, very excited. Seamus O'Regan doing a fantastic job on the stage, entertaining everybody. We're even doing moonwalks to Michael Jackson. Beside me is Minister for Children, Disability and Equality, Norma Foley. Norma, there's good days and bad days. This, in a way, is a good side of the bad days.
Oh, absolutely. And I actually think it's even more important that we would be here this evening. Because these boys have represented us with such dignity and such courage, and we are so proud of them. We were proud of them before they went into the final, and we're still proud of them. So it's fantastic that there's such a big turnout, and we thank them, we thank their families, we thank the county board, everybody involved, everybody who worked so hard for the green and gold.
It's a bit like politics. There are good days, there are bad days, there are winners, there are losers. There's a sign over there saying David for Taoiseach, Haughty for Tánaiste. So you might have competition if the job comes up.
I just love it. I think it's the sign of the day. And I wouldn't argue with it. 100%. Great sign.
Minister, thank you very much indeed. And a lot of all the Kerry TDs are here as well. So the Gartha motorcycle is just... two motorcycles have just landed in front of me here. I'm just going to walk to my left and see if I can get a better view of what's happening down Denny or up Denny Street. There's a pipe band making its way towards us. So they've opened the gates now right in front of the stage here on Denny Street. So the pipe band, I'm presuming, will go one way, and then the bus, when it comes through, the bus is still quite a bit down Denny Street, down outside the Grand Hotel. There are photographers and all sorts of flags and banners waving here. It's a joy to see, and especially, I mean, last year it was bittersweet in the sense that the weather was awful, but we had something to celebrate in terms of a cup. There might be a cup today, but the cup will come back. And when you look at the age profile of the Kerry panel, yes, some might be on the wrong side of 30, but there's so many on the younger side of 30. When you look at, we talked yesterday with Liam and with Billy about the fact that we have a very strong panel of under 20s coming up as well. So I think the future is always going to be bright in Kerry. And listening to, I heard a bit of the commentary today of Midwest Radio and the two boys at the end, the two commentators. It was, if you couldn't grin when you heard that, well then you'd be made of stone. Because I think a credit has to be given as well to our own commentary team yesterday, Tim and Ambrose, because as the final hooter went, you could hear them in the background while trying to commentate on what was happening and unfolding in front of us. They still had time to go to the commentary team from Midwest Radio and congratulate them, because they've soldiered through all the defeats and all the heartbreak, as indeed have the Mayo fans. We've soldiered through all the good times. Yes, we've had more good times than bad times, but it's so good to see so many people showing up here this afternoon and this evening on a lovely, balmy end of July evening in Tralee, Ivan. The bus now is just passing the KCYS and the entrance to the town park, and I'm hoping to maybe grab a word with one or two of the team when they do make it off the bus and down towards the stage. I've the Mayor of Kerry, Mikey Sheehy, here with me. Mikey, you've obviously seen your dad coming through here on the good days when you were younger, but there were bad days too, and it's important to show the support.
Yeah, absolutely, John, and look, there's an incredible crowd here in Tralee from across the county to welcome home these warriors. We're so proud of them. They certainly will not be defined by 70 minutes yesterday in Croke Park. There's bigger and better things to come. We're so proud of them, proud of the effort, the pride that they play under the jersey in. Just want to thank all the management, everyone attached. It's been a wonderful year. Yesterday didn't go our way, but I have absolutely no doubt that we're going to be back again next year and bringing Sam home.
Wasn't it a joy to see the celebration and the exhilaration of the Mayo fans?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, bringing Sam home to any county means a huge amount. But obviously it's a very special one for Mayo. If there was one county in the country, you probably couldn't begrudge them. They played with such passion and everything yesterday. And again, if you look back in their season, was certainly one of two halves. From that game against Roscommon nearly 3 months ago to delivering a Sam Maguire for the county of Mayo was just an absolutely incredible achievement. And we have to take our hats off to them.
Now the bus is, thank you Mikey, and the bus is just right in front of us here now. I'm going to make my way across in front of some of the dignitaries here, the elected representatives, and I can see inside in the bus, I see Patrick O'Sullivan, the chairman of the county board. I see Mike McQuinn, the physio. Also, just trying to see, the players are on the top, of course. I see Jason Foley, Killian Spillane is there, and Joe O'Connor is also standing by to descend from alight from the bus. And I'm just going to go across the other side of the stage here now and get myself ready to chat hopefully to one or two of them. Obviously, it's a difficult task for a player after giving so much for so long to have to say a few words, but I'm sure that they do appreciate the support that they're getting regardless of the outcome of any of the matches here. And I can see in the back of the bus it was designed by EF Signs last week, and they were, I suppose, you put the champions or do you put the finalists tag up in it? Well, what's on the side, you've got David Clifford, Paul Ganey and Paddy Clifford's photographs on the back, and they're just above, and the team running out onto the pitch, and Paul Ganey with the ball under his arm, and you can see Gavin White with it as well. And
John, you might just tell me what the crowds are like there now. I know you said it had swelled out a small bit, so are we looking at a good crowd welcoming this Kerry team back to Denny Street?
Yeah, and just if I could, Sean Ishay, John Drummy, Radio Kerry, just a quick word. What was it like for you to come down and see such great support despite the outcome and commiserations?
Obviously, we're very disappointed, but to see the crowd of our own people, our own supporters here is huge, and thank you for coming out today, because it's not easy, but it means a lot for us to see them here.
And of course, you know, there are good days, there are bad days, but there'll always be another game.
Yeah, exactly. There's sport, there's life, there's good days and bad days, ups and downs. So, look, we'll just have to take it to the chin and move on.
Thank you very much, Shawnee. Very proud of you and everything that you've done. Shane Murphy just walking past me there as well. And Gavin White, last year's captain, just making his way past as well. Paul Murphy is here too. And Paul, of course, a stalwart for many, many years with the Kerry team. David Clifford just going by. Killian Spillane is here as well. And you can understand that they do want to get up on the stage and show their appreciation to the crowd who've come out. If I could just have a quick word with Dylan Casey's here. Dylan, commiserations. I know we spoke last year at this very spot, a different thing, but still a great crowd has turned out. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, look, we're incredibly grateful for the crowd that showed out tonight. Unfortunately, it wasn't to be our day yesterday, but please God, we'll regather again and go again.
The scenes in Croke Park yesterday, while demoralising, I suppose you look at it from the other perspective as well, the exhilaration and the joy that Mayo got.
Yeah, look, you have to give credit to Mayo. They were better than us on the day. Things just didn't seem to work out for us, but yeah, look, we just have to dust ourselves down now and go again, and look forward to next year.
Well, we're very proud of you, and we wish you the very best. And thanks a million, Dylan, for talking to us again. Dylan Casey there, Jason Foley just making his way past me, Brian Bjorklich as well, and James Costlow, one of the selectors with the panel, also going onto the stage. Of course, Alan Cantwell is our Master of Ceremonies, and he will be introducing all the players and everybody on the management team as well. And making his way we're just waiting for Jack O'Connor now, who's probably going to make his way onto the stage in just a couple of moments. I have Emma Sweeney, PRO for Kerry GAA. Emma, this is volunteer driven, lots of volunteers here today, and I think hats off to everybody involved.
Yeah, look, I suppose it's when you see what these lads do, the backroom team and everyone involved with them and all the commitment, it's a huge privilege to see it close up. And I suppose, look, there's volunteerism, John, happening across the county in clubs and across the country, and it's volunteers driving the whole thing, and look, they make it really special, and there's probably a volunteer or a panel member from every club in Kerry, so it's really nice to be a part of it. Yeah, and look, you'd just be very proud of them and their effort and their commitment.
On to the club championship next now, and that's it. It just shows you that the wheel keeps on turning, and there will be better days ahead. Aidan McGarrett is just making his way to me as well, just getting an embrace from Emma. Aidan, if I could just have a couple of focal Radio Kerry commiserations yesterday. How did it feel coming up down Denny Street this evening to see such a great crowd?
This is a very difficult time for the players, and obviously, you know, a homecoming like this gives everyone a huge lift. We're very proud of those players. It's been a difficult year. We've had to face a lot of adversity, I suppose, in terms of injuries, etc. But no excuses. You know, we're beaten by a better team on the day, and we'll come back.
Well, we wish you the very best in doing so, and thanks a million for talking to us. Alan Cantwell is in situ and ready to talk. Jack is actually on the stage. Jack O'Connor, he slipped past me. So I'm just waiting for the nod to see, are we ready to go with the proceedings on stage? As Aidan McGarrett, I think, is probably the last person to go on stage. The music is being cut, and I think now we can hand over to our Master of Ceremonies, Alan Cantwell.
There was a time I used to look into
Mira Rawley, Cahirla Curlicante Kiri, Aaron Norma Foley, Inada Hatuffa, Cahirla Kushta Kunte Kiri, August Buil the Nymanus, Agunush Lugalair, August Accorda Gael Kiri. Pavahalam Falta Moore occur, Riv Firin Kiri, August Buil the Niran Banishtiakta, Quig Straw Denny Idrawley Tranona. Agashiv Galair Atoigesh Duck Taras Talk Air Radio Kiri Tafaltirov Galair. Mayor of Tralee, Cahirlach of Kerry County Council, Minister Norma Foley, Chairman of the Kerry County Board and members of the Executive, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of Corda Gael Galair. I wish to welcome the Kerry senior football team with their management and backroom teams to Denny Street in Tralee this evening. We share in the disappointment of Kerry's defeat yesterday. But from the bottom of our hearts, we thank them for their efforts, their commitment, their passion and their drive that brought so much enjoyment as the season unfolded. Can you give them a huge Denny Street welcome? I'd like also to welcome listeners to Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, and whether you're listening to us around the county, around the country, around the world, you're very welcome. Losing yesterday's All-Ireland final was bitterly disappointing and not the outcome any of us here would have wished for. But in a sporting spectacle for the ages with incredible scenes at Croke Park, we offer our congratulations to Mayo, who after so long got to experience what winning an All-Ireland senior football final was like again. To begin proceedings this evening, I'd like to call on Mayor of Tralee, Councillor Angie Bailey, please.
Hello everyone, I'm a little bit in awe of being up here and standing in front of this wonderful, wonderful team behind me. And yesterday it may not have been the result we wanted, the result that we were expecting, but sometimes sports and history does things like that. But looking out at this crowd today of green and gold, it's just phenomenal. And all weekend long, the entire town, the entire county and Dublin was a sea of green and gold. And before that whistle ever waned, we had people in clubhouses and community rooms and pubs and Croke Park and in their houses and anywhere there was a screen, and they were sitting in doorways and bar stools and sofas screaming at the television. Every single goal was a roar because we believe in the team that I have here behind me. And their disappointment, I think, is shared by every single one of us as well today. But more importantly, what I saw yesterday was when that whistle blew and this team behind me stood, there were tears of joy from one team, there was tears of heartbreak for another, but all around the country, people remained seated, just glued to the television, because we did witness something quite incredible. You know, and for that, for Mayo to have to wait 75 years to lift the cup, I mean, we're regulars at this. You know, we're going to have it back, we're going to do it again. We have the best team in the country. And I just want to thank the team and the management and all of the people who work behind the scenes with them for the work and the dedication, for the hours we don't see, for the injuries we don't feel, for everything that they bring to our county that can colour our county in green and gold and that can fill Denny Street even without a win. This is still the team to watch for. And huge congratulations. Fáilte amháille, and it's always Kiri Abu.
Mayor of Tralee, Councillor Angie Bailey. I'd now like to call on Cathaoirleach of Kerry County Council, Councillor Mikey Sheehy, please.
It's a huge honour as Cathaoirleach of Kerry County Council to stand in front of you this evening and to welcome home this incredible group of absolute warriors who have represented us with such pride, with such passion over the last number of years, and we're so proud of all of your achievements thus far. I don't think that anyone is going to define our season or the legacy that you've given us just over 70 minutes. Like the Mayor of Tralee just said, Angie, you're more defined by the incredible levels of effort, the pride, the passion that you show in the green and gold jersey. To Jack O'Connor and all the management, we just want to say thank you, basically. Like I said, everyone sees what's produced on TV and on RTE and on the Sunday game, But we understand the amount of effort, the amount of pride, and just the pure and utter passion that you put into Kerry football and have done for so many years. So can we just get a huge round of applause, please, for Jack and all of the management team. To our players, you have absolutely nothing to apologise for. You gave it everything. To everyone involved who wore the green and gold this year, you've inspired a new generation of young footballers that will hopefully go on to represent Kerry in the same space that you've done and done with such pride and passion over the last number of years. Kerry football has never been defined by one game. It has always been defined by resilience, character, and an unwavering belief that we will be back again. And this group of players has that those qualities in abundance. Finally, there's one other man I want to mention, and he's a very good friend, Patrick the Bag O'Sullivan. Patrick has put in a huge amount of effort as chairperson of Kerry County Board over the last number of years. His support of both the management and the players is second to none. So a huge round of applause for Patrick O'Sullivan, whose term comes to an end at the finish this year. On that note, I'm going to finish up. I just want to say, again, a warm welcome to Tralee, a warm welcome to the capital, a warm welcome back to Kerry. You're going to have a bit of downtime to contend with over the next weeks, but we all know, and we all can't wait for 2 weeks' time when the club championship kicks off. I'm sure that's on the horizon for most of you. And I just want to say, Kiri Abu, and we will be back with Sam in 2027.
Of Kerry County Council, Councillor Mikey Shee. It's now time to meet the players who stand behind me and have given us, as I said at the start, such enjoyment this season. Yesterday wasn't to be, but they will set out their stall as they always do at the start of next season, looking to play football in the championship right into and at the end of July. Beginning with in goals, and he was given the merit last night of the goalkeeping spot on the team of the season. It is from Dr. Croke's Shane Murphy. The full-back line yesterday at full-back also made the team of the year. Jason Foley from Ballydonahue. Either side of him, Paul Murphy from Rathmore and Dylan Casey from Austin Stacks here in Tralee. The half-back line, Graham O'Sullivan from Drummond Pearce, Mike Breen from Beaufort, and last year's captain and man of the match, Gavin White from Dr. Croke's. Our midfield pairing played so well this season, also from Dr. Croke's, Mark O'Shea, and from Beaufort, Sean O'Brien. The half-forward line scored a memorable goal in last year's final, Joe O'Connor from Austin Stacks. The supreme talent of Sean O'Shea from Kenmare Shamrocks and Tom O'Sullivan from Dingle Dangany Cooch. And the full forward line, they probably need little introduction, but here goes anyway. In the corner, Paddy Clifford from Fossa. In the other corner, Dylan Ganey from Dingle Dangany Cooch. And the plaudits for this man go on and on. Yesterday, he overtook Colm the Gooch Cooper as Kerry's all-time leading championship scorer and equaled Mikey Sheehy's record of scoring 29 championship goals. From the Fossa Club, David Clifford. Introducing the rest of the squad, Shane Ryan, sub-keeper, and of course, all-star keeper from last year from Rathmore, Evan Looney from Dr. Croke's, the great talent that is Tomás Kennedy from Cairns O'Rahilly's, part of the successful under 20 team, Kerry landing the title after such a long wait, Keith Evans from Kiel, the team captain Paul Geaney from Dingle Dangany Cooch, scored a memorable goal against Tyrone from the Austin Stacks Club, Armin Heinrich. from the Ungaeltacht Club also enjoyed club championship success this year, Brian O'Beagliach. Tide Morley from Temple No. Michal Burns from Dr. Crokes. Unfortunately, didn't start yesterday, but a hero for Kerry for many years, Dermot O'Connor from the Negale Club here in Tralee. And Killian Spillane from Temple No. I'd like to also welcome Barry Dan O'Sullivan from Dingledang and Ecouche, Charlie Keating from Dr. Crokes, Kieran Collins from Rathmore, Killian Trant from St. Sennans, Darrow O'Connor from Cairns O'Rahilly's here in Tralee, Don O'Sullivan from Drummond Pierce, Eddie Healy from Listowel Emmets, Evan Boyle, another man from the under 20 successful team this year from Ballyduff, Joey Nagel from Aston Stacks, Sean Broderick from John Mitchell's here in Tralee as well, Tomás O'Donnell from Castle Gregory. And last but by no means least, and we wish him a speedy recovery from his injury, Tony Brosnan from Dr. Crokes. I would now like to call on a man who has led Kerry to multiple All-Irelands. As I say, yesterday wasn't to be, but he has been the manager supreme for the last 20 years. 2006, the first title against Mayo. Would you please put your hands together for Banish Dornafone and Jack O'Connor?
Thanks, Alan. We're genuinely thrilled by the size of the crowd in front of us here. We expected maybe there'd be a few hundred, and instead we see thousands filling Denny Street. So thanks very much. It's a real... it's a huge disappointment to lose an All-Ireland final, and particularly the following 24 hours is tough going, but this really gives us a big lift. It means an awful lot to the players, and it will just give them a bigger incentive than ever to come back next year and make sure that we have the cup when we come back here. As I said earlier, we're hugely disappointed. We didn't do the business yesterday. It wasn't for want of trying. I thought our team was very brave. Kept coming back, and we were still within a score at the end, even though a few things didn't go right for us. That extra bit of hunger that Mayo had, and you know, a few tight marginal calls went their way. So you have to say that on balance they deserved it. And if anyone was going to beat us, I suppose we can't begrudge it to Mayo after 75 years. So congratulations to them. It's no consolation to our boys, but I think you can be very proud of this team behind me. They carry themselves with great style and great standards, and you know, why wouldn't they when they know that they mean so much to the county and they have such a following? You were tremendous supporters this year. We had three big games in Killarney, the Munster final to Cork, the game against Donegal, and the game against Armagh. They were three fantastic occasions where you packed out the stadium, and the quarter final and semi final, and obviously the final yesterday. Even the semi-final against Dublin, that was an atmosphere that I haven't seen in a semi-final for many years. So thank you very much. It means an awful lot to the players that they have your fulsome support. So thanks again. As I said, we're genuinely disappointed we haven't the cup here, but we'll do everything in our power. Some of us haven't gotten any younger, so time might be running out in this, but there's still a few years left in this team behind me. So we'll put everything into bringing that cup back next year. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much indeed, Jack. Well, behind the great man, there's a great team, and I'd like to introduce the backroom staff to you, beginning with Head of Athletic Performance, Jason McGahan, Performance Coach, Cathal Sheridan, Strength and Conditioning Coach, Arthur Fitzgerald, Goalkeeping Coach, Brian Kelly, Head of Nutrition, John Deeney O'Connor. The team physios, Dunica Walsh and Paddy McQuinn. Team doctors, John Rice and Mike Finnerty. The masseurs, Harry O'Neill and Kieran Slattery. On logistics, Brendan Griffin and Gerard Mahoney. On stats, Keane O'Connor and Colin Trainer. The kit man, who else but Colm Whelan. And on GPS, Fionn O'Shea. I'd like also to pay tribute to Jack's selectors, James Costello from St. Pat's Blenerville, Aidan McYarrell from Ungaeltacht, Keane O'Neill, originally from Moorfield in County Kildare, but he has shared many nights here with us in Tralee, and Pat McCarthy from Curragh. And also the coaches, Mark Evans, and a certain individual who's been introduced here many times as a winning player, the one, the only, Kieran Donaghy. I would like now to introduce you to the team captain. He had an extraordinary career with his club, Dingle Dangany Cooch, landing the All-Ireland Senior Club Championship, entitling him to be team captain of the Kerry team for 2026. Would you please welcome Paul Ganey?
Dave Gallaire, I'll keep this short. Just to echo what Jack has said there, this is an unbelievable crowd to greet us back to Tralee tonight. obviously, we hoped to bring Sam back. We didn't do it. But to be fair, you didn't leave us down. Throughout the year, we said that this team really values the crowd behind us, and you never left us down. So thank you very much for that. Just on behalf of the team, I'd like to thank the management team, the county board, and Kerry Group, Catherine Keogh, and Edmund Scanlon for all their help throughout the years. We wouldn't be able to push the limits as much as we could without them. So thanks very much to them. And finally, all I got to say is we didn't bring it back this year, but hopefully next year we will.
Thanks very much indeed. I'd like to also pay a special tribute to Patrick Tatler O'Sullivan, the chairman of the Kerry County Board, whose term comes to an end this year. Patrick has done some extraordinary work with the County Board over many years, and we've had many great nights here in Denny Street, wishing home the Kerry team. One or two losing nights like tonight, but the majority have been victories. So I would like to say on a personal level, thank you very much indeed, Patrick, for all that you've done for Kerry football over the many years, and we wish you well. So as we finish up formalities, I would like finally to wish the Kerry ladies the very best of luck in next Sunday's All-Ireland Senior Final. They take on Galway in the decider. And to their captain, Seán O'Shea, and the entire squad, Mark Burke and his management team, we hope they can repeat the win of 2024 when they faced the same opposition. So the best of luck to the ladies on Sunday. I want to thank everyone involved in the organisation of today's event, the staff and management of the Tralee Municipal District, Kerry County Council, the Kerry County Board, St Brendan's Board, Garda Síochána, St John's Ambulance, the doctors who are on duty, everybody involved in the construction and the management of the stage here, people on sound, and Big Jim on sounds. He was brilliant there beforehand. And to the stewards who, of course, without this, we simply couldn't have an event of this size. I want to thank you all for coming out today. It's a huge turnout. It is massive to see such support for the Kerry team, even in defeat. And I know for a fact that they will be trying their best to be back here on this stage on the last Monday in July next year. To everybody, safe home. God bless, good night, and thanks for coming.
So there you go. The proceedings drawing to a close on Denny Street. The Kingdom back at home after the All-Ireland final defeat to Mayo. Liam, listen to that there. You know, it's the the emotion in the voices you could hear with Jack and Paul, and probably the biggest message to the supporters was, we're going to go next year and try our very best to bring Sam back next year. It's always nice to hear when there's a big crowd there as well.
It is, and like you said, you could hear it in their voices, you know, they're down, you know, and like it is a hard place to be. People have to realise, like, you know, the trainings that they've done, the football now, John, really, it's gone to five nights a week. It's your whole life, you know, for nearly the whole year. No, and you know, and then when you get so close, and at the big day, just it slips away from you. It's very disappointing, and you know, and the next week, and they'll feel like they left the county down as well. You know, that's the way they'll feel. No, and that's why we're saying we're hoping that, you know, everyone will get behind them. Look, the club championship starts next weekend. Now any player with a Kerry player is the following week, but everything starts off again. And you know, look. And looking at our age profile and our team, a lot of our guys are coming to the peak now. Now things didn't go well the weekend, but I think we're going to have a lot of occasions like this, not like this, but with Sam Maguire down in Dinny Street. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think hearing that there was such a good crowd there, John, you could hear kind of the cheers and everything when the lads are getting named off the bus and all that. It is nice for them to kind of come back, I suppose, back into Kerry. As Jack said, it's after giving them all a bit of a lift that the 24 hours after the final can be tough. But Jack said seeing thousands as opposed to hundreds there was a really good lift, and probably what the players need today as well. And like that, the football will be start being kicked again next weekend and back into club championship. And not this be quickly forgotten, that's the wrong thing to say, but it'll be it's made a lot easier by that support from the Kerry faithful.
Yeah, it's great to see that crowd, Ivan. You know, the expectation and lonely place last night, you know, you just want to, as a player, you want to get home as soon as you can, and this while this will lift the spirits, they'll be hugely disappointed. You can hear it in their voices. So much has gone in, lives on hold, family occasions missed. And you know, the people out there mightn't realise that this is a huge sacrifice by these players, and they deserve tremendous credit. And we came so close, even though Mayo had the upper hand.
Yeah.
But it was still there within our grasp. But look, there'll be other days, and you know, they'll, as Liam said, they'll get back. They'll winter and they'll come again.
Yeah, absolutely. And all that effort and sacrifice for an amateur game, it is incredible, really, what they're doing. Lads, we'll have to go to a break, and we've news at 7, but we'll have a full hour of dissecting the All-Ireland final that was, and of course looking ahead to our ladies who are in the All-Ireland final next Sunday as well. You can text her your comments or WhatsApp them in as well, 083 300 3300.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry Sports.
All right, welcome back to the second hour of Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock, and we've still plenty to digest from yesterday's 120 to 117 defeat at the hands of Mayo in the All-Ireland Senior Football Final. Still in the company of Liam, John and Andrew, following the homecoming, I suppose this, I was just going to say celebrations, but the proceedings on Denny Street over the last hour or so. So we can actually get a chance to sit in and have a look at the game as well. Liam, I suppose as All-Ireland starts go, Kerry couldn't have asked for much better, really, could they?
Exactly. After 15 minutes, 1-5 to point. You know, it was, you could see Mayo were attacking, but they were getting no joy out of it. Kicked a few into the goalkeeper's hands. But the one thing I was fearful of, and I said it to John on air, was that he asked me actually, how could Mayo beat Kerry? And I just gave two things. I said, 2-pointers and goals. I said, that's the only way they're going to come out. And by God, did they go for the 2-pointers. Seth and John and Andrew were talking about it there earlier. Like, they had 14 shots at 2-pointers, you know? And they scored 4. Some of them went wide, and we'd only 2 or 3 shots at 2-pointers. No, and hearing interviews then today, like from the players, they were given the license to have a go.
Yeah,
have a swing at it. That was the word they used. Have a swing at it. No, and look, some of them go over, some of them don't, but they took chances, and that's something we didn't really do. I thought we were just kind of too structured. We were too kind of over and back the field. Like
kind of coasting,
football,
aren't we?
Kick. Like we play our best football when we kick the ball. I don't think yesterday, I haven't seen the game back now, but I don't think yesterday we kicked the ball too many times from defence up into our forward line. There was times when David Clifford was inside 1-on-1. You could see he was looking for the ball. Kicked the ball into him. We were actually rolling down. Kicked the ball in. There was no. We were going backwards. Next, all of a sudden, we were being turned over. the press that that Mayo had was unbelievable. We knew that press. That wasn't a big surprise to us. That's the way Mayo played with that press. And I just think we just fell into a trap there. But like we said, the first 15, 20 minutes was outstanding. And I just don't think that we had the leg on the throat and we just didn't go for the kill. It was 1-5 to pint. We had a couple of misses. Sean Ishay's punch went over the bar. There was a man off the shoulder that should have hit the back of the net. If it was last year, dim things were going our way. You know, you were probably going 10 or 12 points ahead then. Then you were asking serious questions. But we just gave Mayo that little bit of oxygen to stay in the game.
Yeah, no, funny actually you said that, because when you mentioned about the 2 pointers, I remember flicking through the programme for the game yesterday. I have it open here in front of me as well, and it's actually an article in the programme, Mayo hoping an orange crush can increase their chances against Kerry. Yep. And it just goes to show who wrote this, Christy O'Connor in the programme, got that one spot on. John, I suppose, look, I mentioned we're at that kind of 1-5 to a point mark, and as mentioned, there was Dave Clifford had a potential 2-pointer free or a mark in front of the Hogan. That went wide with Thomas Sullivan's 2-pointer miss. He missed a single score as well. I think it was a Sean Shea put one wide as well. Like, it's easy to look back at it now, but as Liam said, if you kind of stretched that lead, it was 7 points at that point. If you had stretched that into maybe a double digit lead, all of a sudden you would have been asking serious questions of Mayo. But instead, Mayo again used the 2 points to their advantage and clawed the way back into it before half time.
Yeah, you know, those points would have put daylight between us, you know, we didn't get them. And it gave lifeline to Mayo. And listening to Andy Morland last night, he was asked a question, was he even bothered when they were 1-5 to point? He said, stay in the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jack Carney's 2-pointer, it was a serious score for them. And then Ryan O'Donoghue, who followed up with another one. But it was the intensity, there was a worry about it, Liam, that the intensity Mayo brought to it. You know, we weren't breaking the tackles. They were going through us. And, you know, they had their misses also. But those 2 pointers, the fact that they went in at half-time just a point down after being 7 down, that was a huge turnaround.
Yeah.
That was belief. And I think they kicked on from there and they got the crowd behind them. You know, it was, I think some of the Mayo lads said last night, listening to different interviews, you know, if you give them something to go at, they'll give it back to you. And they certainly did. And the intensity and the tackling with them and 2 and 3 guys around it, borderline tackles,
on
to be
the edge
fair,
of times
on
now,
the
yeah.
edge.
Yeah,
but
well,
that's what
yeah.
good teams do.
Yeah.
There's no excuse. I mean, we've been there and done it. We've been on the edge too, and we've come up. And that's, you know, and I think there's credit due to Mayo for their tactics on the day, their sharpness, and there is a question mark about Kerry's fitness. We've heard all about the injuries. No question about that. I think that has to be looked at. Where did they come from? How do we get all these injuries? Is it the club scene? Like Jack has said numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
Is it this training camp in Portugal? We got 3 or 4 injuries out of that.
Is it overtraining?
And is it overtraining? You know, we look flat. Mayo look fresh. They had a hunger, but they had a belief. And I said it last week, Ivan. Andy Morton's after match interviews, when they beat Louth, when he was asked by one of the reporters, you know, the Mayo supporters, he called it bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
He gave it back and he said, Let them enjoy themselves. Suddenly, the supporters were on Andy Morton's side. And then he asked the question to the room, which is very unusual, how many of you think we can beat Kerry or Dublin? They played with an abandon.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Paddy Talley influence. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Paddy Talley influence. He was with us. Knew our players inside out. And, you know, I think that the way they squeezed up and the way that they... How many of our Kerry players played to form yesterday? Apart from the 2 Cliffords.
Yep.
Jason Foley early on, and I think that was another mistake that we made. Why didn't he go after Ryan O'Donoghue?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are the questions that will be asked. But, you know, overall, we were so close. You know, would it have been an injustice if we had won it? Of course, we'd have taken it. But Mayo were superior, I think.
Yeah, Andy Morton also saying that interview for letting the Mayo people go mad, allow them to go mad, and it gave definitely got that hype behind them over the last 2 weeks. Andrew, we mentioned we got to kind of half time there, and it was Kerry ahead by a point. Could have been more, but in fairness to Mayo, as you said, it had it rightly clawed back. We know how hard it can be to score into the Hill 16 in. We saw Mayo get 2 two-pointers there in the first half. But, you know, you're kind of looking at it saying into Davin, should Kerry have just been able to put up a bit more of a score, just have that gap? Even if Mayo were really in the game at that time, you'd still think that Kerry's advantage, especially playing into Davin, could have been more.
Definitely. And the lads I mentioned in that kind of period there where we left 7 points behind from 4 misses. two from Tom Sullivan, and David Clifford missed two-pointer free, and Sean O'Shea as well. It's 7 points, and mind you, Mayo missed a couple between that as well, but had we got all them and Mayo continued to miss, it would have been 112 to 3 points after 20 minutes. That's 12 points.
You're asking serious questions.
Yeah.
You really have them nailed down at that stage. And look, it comes back to that. And we did take the lead. It was a great score just before halftime by Joe O'Connor, just to get in on the break, get in a point up. But you could tell that Mayo smelled blood. And that came in the second half. The goal from the turnover, how they moved the ball so brilliantly up the field throughout the day. Darburn took a brilliant goal. Their press, the lads have mentioned it, 15 turnovers throughout the day. And a tight hand-passing game by us trying to get the ball out of defence. Like, we knew this press was coming. It's Mayo's biggest attribute coming into this All-Ireland final. They've been at this for years under Max Day. They've been at this under Andy Moran. I remember the league game up in Castlebar last year when we needed a point late on, and they pressed us all the way up the field. Tony Buckley was with them that time. He's a big fan of that as well. They pressed us all the way up the field to make sure that we couldn't get up the field. The Hooter went and Kerry lost the ball. Mayo went up to get a score and full time. So Mayo have been at this for quite a while. It was a bit mind-boggling at times how we dealt with that press. I think that's probably the most annoying part of yesterday, but absolutely full credit to Mayo. That it was an almighty display by them to come back from 1-5, a point down, the two-pointers that they kicked, the youngsters to show up on the day, Dara Byrne, Kobe MacDonald, absolutely outstanding. They did not look one bit out of place. Any nerves about them heading into their first All-Ireland final were completely banished by half-time with their performances that they were putting in, and fully deserved it on the day of the victory.
Yeah. Andrew's a good man for the stats, and we have it that the Kerry actually won more of their own kickouts than they lost, which wasn't really the general consensus, Liam, coming out of the stadium after, because the amount of people said to me, like, oh, we'll be listening tomorrow evening and, you know, we're looking forward to hearing what the stats are on that. And we're looking up last night that Kerry actually did win more than they lost, but it was just, again, that pressure and that high press from Mayo, this kind of swarming of even the short kickouts, Kerry just couldn't get out of their own sort of, you know, inside their own 45, and it's huge credit to Mayo for that. So it just goes to show that even if the stats are there for winning your own kickouts, it might feel like you're losing them if you're getting overturned back on your own, 30 yards out from goal. Like,
it does, yeah. And it's funny, like, because it did look like we were under pressure with our kickout, and it just shows you that stats can be very, they can be blinding as well. Like, we lost 40% of our kickouts. Mayo lost 56-57% of their kickouts, but it's what Mayo did. No, it was the pressure, yeah, and it was the hassle, and it was in your face kind of stuff. It made it look as if they were so dominant. You know, the high energy, high intensity game that they played. You know, and like, we just looked too leggy. You know, I like people say, if this, if that. It just looked, just after half time when the ball went up, like, I knew straight away we were in trouble, because you'd be expecting Kerry at half time, you know, when the ball was thrown up, to win the hop and attack and put on the pressure. It was Mayo that did it, and plus they were scoring into the Canal End, and the Canal End, as you know, is probably the scoring goals.
The breeze
was up there. I knew it was going to be a hard second half for us, but I just, there was several times around the field I was looking at fellas' legs, and they just didn't have it in them. No, like John said earlier, was it the injuries that caught up to us eventually, or what was it, or was it whatever training we were doing leading into the All-Ireland? But like, if you asked me last week, and look, I was one of these fellas that said, look, we're going to, last Monday night I said 4 to 5 points, because when you looked in black and white what Kerry had done, the players we had, and Mayo on the other hand, Kerry had all the aces, but little did I think that we had with that, maybe 13 of our starting 15 would probably have their poorest games of the last 2 years, you know, in the final, and that's probably what happened. No,
yeah.
And look, you have to give great credit to Mayo, because they had a game plan, and their game plan worked,
and they stuck to it as well. To be fair, yeah, John, it was kind of a worry at half time, and we were kind of saying that the point up, obviously, what kind of wasn't enough given the opening kind of display, as we've already said, and that sort of the first couple of minutes of the second half, the way Mayo dominated, you kind of knew, you know, 50-55 minutes, whenever the goal went in, that we're in a spot of bother here. And to be fair to Kerry, kept with them and didn't leave Mayo get too far away. And all went to 5 points at one point. But to be fair to Kerry, they were always kind of within a score of getting this game back. So credit due to Kerry in that as well. But you just knew the opening 10 or 15 minutes of the second half, Mayo came out stormy. And maybe that belief of getting it back to 1 point at the break, maybe did have that belief in the dressing room to push them on in the early stages of the second half.
Yeah, I think so. Like that was, if you looked at the body language, Mayo running off the field at half time, they were on a mission. You know, their freshness and their fitness was crucial. But like Liam said, their game plan, their pace around the field, you know, I think the spine of their team, McHugh and McBrien, three and six were outstanding. Two cornerbacks, you know, they were no nonsense. It wasn't flashy stuff. Mm-hmm. Andy Hessian had a huge game.
Yeah.
He was the link man all through. He just went through and glided through our defence. Mm-hmm. And you have to give credit to McBurn, Dara Byrne inside, and Ryan O'Donoghue. You know, when things didn't go well early on, this is a young fella that's won an under 20, Byrne, like, and the way the scores he got. But the maturity he showed. Kobe came out and kicked a 45 after having a few bad ones. Look, all these things, it was oxygen for the supporters and the players fed off it. And, you know, give us credit, we came back again. And we were so close, like, you know. Yeah. The people around me thought, ourselves included and the lads that were with me, we felt, you know, we'll get the two-pointer and we'll force extra time. And it looked like it, but
yeah, it did.
You know,
yeah, it did, John. And that was the thing, Andrew, as well, wasn't it? That even, as I said, there was a score in it really right till the very end. And even if you look at the winning margin, a goal at the end would have levelled it. So, you know, you're kind of looking. You know that the point came very, very late for Mayo. So there was just kind of the 2 point Kerry were searching for. We'd David Clifford got the first one, then we'd one just wide from David, and the one dropped short from Sean. But on another day, the high ball that was short could have been punched into the net. We could have won it by a point there, and then probably wouldn't have been over the early fair on Mayo. If we ended up bringing it to extra time, to be totally honest. But it just goes to show that, you know, in fairness, and they never do, and, you know, the 26 and however many were training all year, never give up. And we've seen that from a Kerry perspective of, you know, never know when you're beaten, keep going till the very end. And it's great to see that they had that even right at the very end of the game.
Yeah, and like, we could be here this evening celebrating Keith Evans after punching the ball into the back of the net. Yeah. How Mayo would feel after that game. they'd probably be the worst ever defeat for Mayo, but here we are. And look, there's no, we'd all agree here that the two men you want taking shots to level the game are Shawnee and David in the last minute of the game. And look, another day they go over the bar, another day we force extra time. Just unfortunately, yesterday wasn't the day, but full credit to the lads for taking on the shots. It's not easy to do that.
Against the clock as well.
Against the clock.
Yeah. The hooter now. It's not that there's additional time. We'll make one more chance here. There's 74 minutes gone.
Right, Todd Ivan.
Against the hooter.
We had time. We kind of panicked. We went for the two-pointer. No, we had time when Paddy put the one over. You know, there was 2 points in it. Mm. There was enough time to clip another point because Mayo knew what we were setting up for. We were all outside the big arc. We couldn't get space to kick. Like, we needed a bit of guile there to get the ball in, tap the ball over the bar again, because we were on top of their kick out at that stage.
We were, yeah.
You know, so we kind of forced it. We were forcing for a two-pointer. And I suppose that's what happens when the pressure comes on. I just thought, like, maybe just go in and kick the ball over the bar again. Just ask questions. Win the kick out. I think there was still about 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
And I think you'd have to say, even as well, Dermot O'Connor was a huge loss to us.
Huge loss.
Often said this in this programme, we don't realise how good a guy is until he's missing.
Yeah.
He was really missed yesterday as an option for the kick out if the short one wasn't working, because we saw how many times was Paul Murphy put under savage pressure by two or three Mayo forwards trying to get out with the ball.
We gave away a handy score with that, really, as well, didn't
and
we?
And Dermot O'Connor from Mayo had a big game. Yeah. That was a big call by Andy Morton to bring in Dermot O'Connor. His experience, he gave his 50 minutes. But I think, you know, the two Dermots, huge loss to us. Your man was a plus to Mayo.
Yeah. Mm. Ryan O'Donoghue, you go back to the goal. Like, Ryan O'Donoghue picked that ball up around the middle of the field. We didn't lay a hand on him. He glided past four or five Kerry players. That usually doesn't happen
not
with Kerry.
Yeah.
Like, that's not Kerry. No, and look, it was a great goal, but you could see we just couldn't get a hand to him. We were struggling. You know, and like Mayo were, look, they were the best team throughout the match. You know, I know even the first 15 minutes they stayed with us, they hung in there, but they had the legs, they had the energy, and I think that's really summed it up for me. Was when they got the goal, I knew it, because we were panting. We were chasing shadows at that stage.
Yeah.
And I just thought that we just didn't have it in the legs. And even in the last few minutes, you know, that was a fluent Kerry would have made it, would have probably chipped that over the bar and brought it to a point, but we just didn't have what it was. Just one of those days that everything went wrong for us.
As Jack said after, he was magnanimous in defeat, to be fair to him, but he just said like the hunger and how flat they were, and that's something they'll have to ask themselves as a management team and as a group. How were they so flat on the day?
On an Ireland final day.
The hunger, you could say Mayo were ravenous, but we should be hungry too, like.
Yeah.
Because look, I mean, David Cliff and these guys, they're such good footballers, they deserve more medals, but you don't get what you deserve. You have to go out and win it.
You should fight for it, especially with Mayo. Just on the Dermot O'Connor, and I'm conscious as we're over time for a break as well, John, obviously it was disappointing to see Dermot O'Connor drop off. We learned, of course, Tom Sullivan was coming in, and look, benefit of hindsight is a great thing, and if Thomas Sullivan, you know, started and kicked 5 points and Kerry win the All-Ireland, you know, it was a great decision. Mightn't have gone with him on this side, John. I think, you know, you're looking at it and you're kind of saying he hadn't played a football since, was it April, I think, in the Munster Championship. Long time out. Obviously had such a long year with Dingle and everything else. Mightn't have been the right option to start the game. A lot of this is in hindsight, I suppose, isn't it, when we're looking at it today, but a lot of the text messages in, you know, wondering could we move Graham up to the half forward line and maybe had someone else in to the half back line. But obviously a little late enough change needed by Jack O'Connor as well.
Yeah, it was a big call by Jack. You know, you live by the sword or die by the sword. Tom O'Sullivan on forum is one of the best footballers in the country. No question about it.
A
huge ask to come in. Two or three shots, they're not Tom O'Sullivan shots, being honest. Because when he throws it on the left, outside of the boot, you can nearly turn and bin for the flag. Yeah. It didn't happen for him yesterday. He kicked one. But, you know, if these... Look, any management, we've made decisions, Liam and myself, we were involved with the under-21s. When you make them and they work... You're great men.
But
when you make them and they don't work, you're questioning it.
Yeah.
You know, and like, we'll come back to the injuries and it will be discussed later on in the year and throughout, is that these guys were only coming back. It was a catch-up. Tom had no football played. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he showed that yesterday.
Yeah, and it's a benefit of hindsight, as we say. We're sitting here 24 hours after the case, and as I said, if Tom started in a fantastic game, Kerry Ireland winners would be praising decision this evening as well. Right, we have to go for a break. Time is ticking ever farther away from us. You can get your comments in 083 300 3300, or you can call 066 712 3666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Right, you're welcome back to the programme. I'd like to wish Mayo congratulations. Very well done. They were the better team, unfortunately. Welcome to Kerry as well. Well done to Kerry as well. We're all very proud of the team and very much proud of Jack and the management team as well. And that's from Ron. Thanks a million for that. Congratulations to Joanna Corby from Two Sis and Jack Rafferty, who won bronze in the men's doubles at the World Under 23 Rowing Championships in Duisburg in Germany on Saturday, and to Tempano's Aila O'Neill, who was on the Irish women's fours team, which won at the B final. Massive well done. Great to see some Kerry success as well over the weekend. It's not all doom and gloom, thank God. Why didn't Paul Gainey come on? He said he was fit on RT this week. That's from Dennis in Clare. That actually is an interesting one, Liam. We'll probably circle around with some of these comments as we go through them as well. But the story of Paul Gainey and sort of that, obviously missing the semi-final through injury, came out then in the press. I think that was recorded Saturday after semi-final, so 6 days later, saying that he would be fit for the final, and then didn't appear yesterday. Was it maybe a tactical thing that we didn't get to see Paul, or was maybe that fitness wasn't there for him?
No, Paul's carrying an injury. Look, he is going to tell the press he's fit. He's not going to tell him he's not fit. So that was the kind of a decoy. But look, if Paul was fit yesterday, we were down 5 points. No, he would have been sprung off the bench, because Paul's is one of our natural scorers. So Paul must have been carrying a serious injury. So Paul I don't think Paul was ever going to play yesterday.
Was there another place in the 26 for someone else if that was the case?
That's the question that can be asked. Was there a place there if a man wasn't going to be used?
Yeah, exactly. Like, obviously hard to know when we're not inside there, but must have been carrying some bit of a knock, you'd imagine, if he wasn't introduced. Congrats to Mayo after 75 years. It was disappointing yesterday to be a Kerry supporter in the way it went. How can you replace a wing forward by bringing a half back in to replace him? It was a serious disrespect to the outstanding forwards and the sub pan. panel. The man that replaced Dermot O'Connor played little or no football since the All-Ireland Club Final. Why could the selectors get it so wrong? And also, there was players that should be replaced at halftime but weren't. That's from Michael Brosson in Skibbereen. Ivan, Paul Gainey did not come on yesterday. He has come on for Dingle and then pulled the game out of the bag for them. He didn't come on yesterday when we were in trouble. It was obvious that he was injured if he didn't come on. Then why was he in the panel at all, leaving younger players out to facilitate an injured player because of captaincy? Is a potential bad call by Jack. Thanks for that one. Sam will be missed in the kingdom. Was well used to visiting us. Was due for his 40th visit. He'll be lost this year, but he'll get lost in Mayo. That's from Dermot and Margaret and two sis. Yeah, well, I think now he'll have plenty of company in Mayo. He won't be left in any old locker in some corner. I'd say he's going to get some tour of the county around there. Hi lads, 117 wouldn't win any game. David Clifford scored 1-6 and the rest only put up 11 points. Wasn't good enough. Joe O'Connor and Dylan Gainey were poor. Paddy had a good game, and Graham O'Sullivan, Shawnee O'Shea, Shawnee O'Shea scored all wides. There's not enough scores in the forward line, and the midfield didn't score enough points. I agree with Tomás O'Shea that Dylan Casey and Paul Murphy were disappointing in the Dublin game, and of course John Kennedy wouldn't agree on what I said about the backs. Himself and Liam were laughing and joking that I was from Mayo. Maybe they should put on their glasses. That's from Eilish in Tralee. So we leave that one to the lads. No comment, I'd say, lads, after that.
Thanks,
one
Eilish.
Yeah, there we go. Well said, Liam. So proud of those players. They've given a fantastic days out, and we will go again. Kiri Abu, congratulations to Mayo, leaving the emotion history aside. We were second best yesterday for 20 minutes from 20 minutes on. Loss of Dermot can't help versus Mayo's high press. Felt it affected the game plan. The Clifford brothers tried hard to get us back into it, but our skill sets and decision making on the day, we did not prepare with full attention to detail. For sure we'll be back next year, but we need some surgery on the pitch and the sideline for 2027. That's coming in from a listener there. Even as I like to pass on my congratulations to Mayo team management and supporters, I'd also like to commiserate with the Kerry team and management yesterday. Mayo brought 75 years of hurt into the game yesterday, and it's very hard to fight that. Ryan O'Donoghue encapsulated that. But Kerry never threw in the towel and fought right to the end. Most of those lads will be back again next year, but now it's Mayo's year. And that's from Mossy, and definitely a year of the underdog as well. First of all, congratulations to Mayo, worthy winners on the day. Our lads did their almighty best, but the sheer hunger and tenacity of the Mayo players realised their dreams. Just two things. Thinking back to a few weeks ago when a GAA pundit outlined his view that this All-Ireland is Kerry's to lose, you can bet that this was used to motivate Tyrone, Dublin and Mayo. And number two, what if only we had the Kerry players that moved to play Australian rules? Killian Burke, Rob Monaghan, Ben Murphy and Mark O'Connor. To Terrace Talk and Radio Kerry Sports, keep up the great work. You're doing a fantastic job. To Jack and the management and all of our Kerry footballers, thanks a million for everything you've done for all of us. Meal of Wakes to everyone involved in the Kerry setup. And finally, best of luck to our lady footballers next Sunday in Croke Park. So, John, we've had a good mix of kind of messages there. Obviously, there's some disappointment maybe at how the final went yesterday, but still plenty in hope in this Kerry team. And that's kind of, you know, we're tatting off here and you're kind of looking at maybe the potential retirements, who might go, who mightn't. We're still going to have a fair bone of what was on display yesterday and in the panel of 26 going into next year as well. And fingers crossed, touch wood, we might have a few less injuries contained with throughout the year as well.
Yeah, that's the big one, Ivan. You know, any forward line that has the two Cliffords and Shawnee O'Shea fully fit, You have to respect them. Eilish was right about the defence. You know, we were under savage pressure yesterday. We were pinned in our own half. The work rate in Mayo, as I said previously, and you know, it's disappointing from a Kerry point of view. And of course, we will be back. There's no question. But for those players and management tonight, and for the next week or two, you know, next year is a long way off. You know, there's a lot of water to flow under the bridge. If we can, we spoke about it off air. You know, it's about looking at more young fellas. We saw what Mayo did. Andy Moran made a huge gamble after the Connacht Championship. You know, it was either he was under pressure from his own, and they got a hocking, to say the least, and he made huge calls. Mm-hmm. Brought in the young fellas. They played Kildare in a challenge, and it took off from there. And you know, they came in under the radar. And like your comment, someone you made a comment there about it was ours to lose. We possibly had the best footballing team in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that. But, you know, even going up to Croke Park yesterday, meeting Kerry supporters, how do you think it will go?
there was a kind of a you know, we're going to win by 10 or 12 points, like, this kind of an attitude. And you know, that seeped in. There was a real casual approach by Kerry that we were going to beat Mayo, that we beat Dublin, we were road tested with Tyrone, which is true, and then, you know, look at the route that Mayo had. But Mayo got to the final and they were there in merit. Yes. And they were the better team of the day.
But I think a lot of that was that collectively we have never seen the Kerry team in so many positions being beat.
Yeah.
No, and just but it look, and we know from playing it and being involved that you get days where things go wrong, and no matter how hard you try, worse it gets. And it was one of those days yesterday. You know, our decision making was poor. We knew coming into the match that Mayo were going to have a high press. We knew Ryan O'Donoghue was going to come out around the middle of the field. Should have Jason stayed with him and followed him around the place. Ryan O'Donoghue ended up getting man of the match. Their press ended up putting us in a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, so. So obviously the management team worked on that, but something happened yesterday that it just didn't click for Kerry.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not as if they were behind with the last 2 weeks, John. Yep. Not on about Ryan O'Donoghue or not on about the press. That they probably spent hours looking at them, but sometimes in sport things can go wrong and everything get frazzled in the middle of the field, and once you go beyond the white line, the management and stuff can't do much more.
Yeah, you can't read it.
Sometimes even the flicks that you try and the kicks that you take, we're around long enough to know they'll go over the bar one day, they won't another day.
Yeah,
it didn't happen yesterday. Shiny had a free in the first half, you put your house in him. Didn't happen. David had a 2-pointer effort to win. Like, can you imagine? They were the guys we wanted on the ball. Mm. They have, what they have done for Kerry is incredible.
Yeah,
and they will be back, there's no doubt. Like, but it just didn't happen.
That power running that we had all year from our half back line, like, I can't remember Gavin White taking off yesterday with any ball. You know, Graham Sullivan was the same. Graham always came up the field and kicked the point, or driving us forward. It just didn't happen.
Is that a credit though to Mayo for kind of not letting it happen as well?
Without,
it's not just a case
homework.
Of we didn't show up. It's they had their homework done as well.
They
so credit you for them on that.
And you know, they probably wore us down as well, because with the press, and you know, when you have to work a ball out of defence every time at high intensity, it eventually catches up with you, and probably for the last maybe 10 or 15 minutes then the legs are probably going a small bit. And credit to Mayo, because
and even you have to say about the Mayo subs, Tommy Conroy, huge influence. Matthew Ruan, experience. Brickinen put on the wrong jersey, whatever, but he came in, he did a job. And then Conor Loftus, the experience which was needed to hold it, and Paddy Durkin, he'd be on most teams. So when you look at it, the timing and the influence the Mayo subs had was critical.
It was a kind of a perfect storm.
The perfect storm.
It was really, because the whole country were back in Kerry, and it was a perfect storm for him.
And you can definitely say, like, they wrote us off, because everyone wrote off Mayo heading into the game. I only found one non-Mayo pundit back on Jim O'Connolly heading into the game. Was that for clicks or was that for something? Everyone went for Kerry to win this game.
Because you'd say you were road tested, because we had a tough game against Tyrone.
Yeah.
We had a tough game against Dublin. Yeah. So you would say we're tested coming into this final.
Yeah.
Whatever clicked yesterday.
Something clicked, exactly. Yeah. Lads, the cons, we have to go to another break, and we've got a Mayo guest. We're allowing one on this evening, and in fairness, well deserved. We'll be chatting to Conor Mortimer after we take this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now, so you're welcome back to the programme. Now, Conor Mortimer, we were hoping to chat to him live, but in fairness, heading to all the celebrations in Castlebar, he couldn't begrudge him. So I really quickly caught up with Conor before the show started to talk about a historic occasion for Mayo football. So, Conor, the famine is over. Sam is back in County Mayo this evening. Not here in Tralee, unfortunately, with us. But hearties of congratulations from all of us here in Kerry, Conor. It was a fantastic occasion yesterday, and to be part of it. Look, I suppose sport can go one way or another. It didn't go our way yesterday, but definitely couldn't begrudge anyone from Mayo of that victory.
No, I suppose it's great to get the rewards after a very topsy-turvy season. And look, I think I said it earlier there, I think a lot of Kerry people were very, very, you know, respectful yesterday after the game, you know, through the game. And like, while it's very disappointing to lose in All-Ireland, I think the fact that it's been so long, you know, since Mayo have won one, I think it was, everyone kind of took it, you know, afterwards, because the hysteria over the minute the final whistle went was something to behold, I think, for every supporter in that stadium. Look, it's a fantastic feeling. Those group of men, you know, they're young men. They're a credit to their clubs, their county, and for the job that they did yesterday. I mean, they performed brilliantly. You know, while I suppose close to the end there, we're probably sweating a little bit. But, you know, thankfully, you know, like David Clifford doesn't miss too many now, and we're very thankful that he did miss that last one. I'll tell you, very thankful.
There was an unbelievable outpouring of emotion at the end of the game, Conor. And, you know, as I said, I was there myself yesterday, and there was a lovely woman from Mayo sitting beside me. I'd say she must have been maybe in her early 60s. And all she did was cry for maybe the last 60 seconds for about 5 minutes after the full-time whistle. It's just the emotion of that. It's hard to describe it. And look, we're into sport here, and you know, everything, any sort of sport we'll watch and we'll comment on. But, you know, to see something like that, and it was a unique experience for me in Croke Park, and really glad, you know, to be a part of it again. Unfortunately, it ended on Kerry's expense. That you couldn't feel bad for anybody there. The outpouring of emotion was incredible. No one knew what to do for me. There was people celebrating, there was people crying, there was people sitting down, standing up. It was unreal.
It was very surreal. You know, I've spoken to a few players since the game, and all the same feedback. It's a surreal moment, and like ultimately. No, I wouldn't be a crier now at all, but you could feel the emotion when the whistle went. Like, I was with my partner, my wife, and like it's you know, you couldn't but kind of get a little bit teary. And I think that was right across the stadium. I see, like, you know, Peter Canavan was teary, Lee Keegan, obviously, I don't need to talk about you now, but look at it was a magical feeling when the whistle went. For everybody from my own, associated with my own, who were, as you say, who are into sport. I mean, I've seen clips today of Australian news showing, you know, the highlights at the end, American news. So it's like, it's a worldwide sport, and it's followed by millions, you know, around the world. And like, even, I suppose, in terms of, I think that homecoming in Castlebar, I'm obviously not down there on the way to a club match, then it's all within me then. Like, I'd say there'd be 50,000 in the Kale Farm tonight, 50,000. It'd be a huge crowd down there to welcome on the lads. And look at it. I mean, ultimately, what a year for Andy, you know, first year. And I suppose that the manner of the victory as well, because, you know, I think, you know, we played all right. Kerry were probably all right. You know, it was a great contest in terms of, I suppose, the swings and roundabouts, because it was up and down. But, like, ultimately, you know, we obviously thought after 12 or 13 minutes, Kerry were 6 or 7 points up. And, like, here we go again. But then there, Jack Carney managed to get that two-pointer and gave our lads a massive lift, particularly going into the hill. And then they grinded themselves into the game. And I think, I think the biggest thing it was based on yesterday, that result was work rate and hard work from our forwards. I think everyone could see that yesterday. They were turning over, tackling, and you don't see, I suppose we've seen it with Limerick, Galway last week, Galway and Clare in the hurling the week before. I mean, the forwards are tackling and getting on top. It's very hard for the opposition to get out with the ball and to get their flow, and I think that's kind of what set the stall out for Mayo in terms of how they were approaching the game. And look, it worked out for us yesterday, thank God.
Conor, look, unfortunately, you had a lot of heartbreak, obviously enough, in your career as well with Mayo, and this sort of trying to get over the line 75 years, far too long for, you know, a side like Mayo, who were in, what, 13 finals before yesterday, all with losses. So, I mean, what these guys have done for Mayo football in general now as well, and looking, I only barely 24 hours since, but you're looking towards next year as well, and having a good chance there. So, what you know, they've kind of lifted that sort of demo maybe that's over Mayo football for such a long time, and there'll be most definite belief again that this Mayo team can be successful, albeit without maybe Kobe heading down under, but the good bones of a team there to compete over the next couple of years as well.
Oh, I'd agree with that. I think ultimately that shadow of not having an All-Ireland in X amount of years is now gone. I think, you know, that was a big weight on any team. I mean, that the pressure is immense from your own supporters within the county in terms of, because You know, Mayo people, you know, the Mayo supporters, they're hungry for success and to see their team do well. And ultimately, when you're getting to finals you know, 13 finals, a lot of finals, and to come away without the cup, while it's disappointing on the day, I think then in the aftermath, a couple of months after, the hunger grows more and more than on the year before. Mm-hmm. But that's been building, and I think you've seen that at the weekend in terms of the outpouring of emotion from people, because they're so hungry for success, and we could never finish the job essentially, and now these lads have gone and done it. And you know, I agree, they're a very young side. You know, Kobe obviously going off to what he's doing in Australia, fair play to him. And we've got a lot of youngsters there in that team. A lot of forwards there. Young McHale there is on the bench yesterday as well. He can come in, you know, corner forward as well. So, you know, the future is bright. Good manager with Andy in his backroom lads as well. So, you know, but the way the season has gone, and it's a funny season in terms of every team is, and that was a hope that we went into yesterday's game, that every team can beat anyone on their day with the way the new rules are and the 2-point are and stuff like that. But that was a big help to us yesterday. I think we had 3, maybe 4 2-pointers yesterday. That kind of got us the, you know, the little bit of course, they brought us back into the game first, and then I don't know who in the second half got one. I think Kearney got one as well in the second half, which it's tough on the opposition when you nail one or two of them in a row, because you know you've 2 or 3 points you're going to have to get back. And particularly Kerry playing into the hill in the second half against that breeze, and it was a strong breeze. I mean, you've seen there at the end Sean O'Shea's when he has to keep his hands, and Schiffer's one just tailed wide. So look, we got the rub of it at the end. We haven't got it, I suppose, other occasions. And look, it swings and roundabouts, and ultimately they're the All-Ireland champions now, and for that group of lads and for the county, and for us who've seen it, you know, some of us probably thought we would never see it. Mm-hmm. You know, you've seen it down in Kerry, you know, it's never too long a wait where we've obviously had to wait a while, so we're hoping we don't have to wait 75 years again.
There you go, Conor Mortimer there, former Mayo footballer, of course, played against Kerry in that 2006 All-Ireland final. John Kennedy, he was you know, always one of the standout players for Mayo back in that generation, and you know, kind of saying that years of hurt is now wiped out. That's going to give this Mayo side savage confidence, and all of a sudden there's no one talking about a curse or anything. You're talking about defending All-Ireland champions. We're going to be dealing with a different Mayo animal now, and Conor hit the nail on the head there as well.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Ivan. Conor, top class forward in his day, you know, got many, many scores. I think he ticked a lot of boxes. This Mayo team, the weight is off the shoulders. Will they go back to back? Will they kick on? That remains to be seen, but it's a massive boost. It's a massive boost to the rest of the country, Ivan. And the one thing what he said there is very valid. The 2-pointers, they've changed. The new rules have changed football for the better. This was a massive championship. Even though we lost, it was a massive football championship, and that has to be good. And Mayo winning it, you know, the Louts and the Armaghs and the Donegals and the Westmeaths and all these teams, they'll say, well, if Mayo can do it, we can do it.
Yeah, most definitely. Right, lads, we're going to park the All-Ireland final there for this year. We need to take a quick break, and we'll of course be looking ahead to another All-Ireland final next weekend. This time our ladies at Jakey on Galway in Croke Park. We go for a quick break on Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now you're welcome back. Someone asking there in the text, and a load of text in that we won't get to unfortunately this evening, but the top one that came up here was who was the excellent MC at the homecoming. That was of course Alan Cantwell. Might recognise his voice from doing all the Warriors reports and everything, and a great man to get a crowd going. He was even better last year when Sam Maguire was coming down Denny Street, but a fantastic job nonetheless, and a great atmosphere there. I hope everybody did enjoy that, and hopefully this coming Monday night or next Monday night we'll be having silverware coming back to the Kingdom. Of course, two big finals on Sunday. Of course, the County Hurling final is on. St. Brendan's taking on Abbey Dorney in the decider in Austinstack Park, with the minor final on before that. So always a great day out in Tralee next Sunday. We'll have a full review of that and the Hurling Championship as well on Monday evening's Terrace Talk next week. But of course, our Kerry ladies are heading to Croke Park, the All-Ireland ladies football final, Kerry against Galway. It's a repeat of the decider, Liam Brosnan from 2 years ago. A lot of people at the start of the year would have said Kerry would be nowhere near the All-Ireland final, but they've really, really put on top performances throughout this championship, and are there on merit against a relatively strong Galway side as well.
Without a doubt, Ivan. It was a kind of a topsy-turvy kind of a league campaign, but they held their Division 1 status at the end. No, a lot of good points, but a lot of poor points. Picked up a few serious injuries as well, like the Cart Lynch, Ava the Harty Truth, which were big losses.
Mm-hmm.
But to be fair to the Kerry management and the Kerry ladies, they have really stepped it up since the Cart game at St. Clarny. No, all over the field from Mary and Bulger and goals. No, they just showed that bit of experience, and I suppose people get sick probably listening to me talking at half time. They're looking for leaders, and they did. Leaders stepped up all over the field. Yeah. All over the field. And no, you need a bench impact as well. And you know, the Kerry management have kind of developed that as well. But they're probably meeting their biggest task, I suppose. Look at All-Ireland final. It's always going to be a big task anyway. Two teams that are really in form in this final. You have Galway, who overcame a very strong, in my book, Armagh team. You know, I've seen Armagh this year in the league, and I was highly impressed with them. Athletic girls around the field, you know, really driving straight at the heart of defences, getting a lot of goals. You know, they were really impressive. But Galway really put them to the sword. 13 points in the semi-final. Then on the other hand, our girls met the All-Ireland champions, Dublin, above in Turles. Fantastic. First 20 minutes was dream football.
Mm-hmm.
Kerry football out the door, not like yesterday. We actually kicked the ball running off the shoulder. You know, there was no one going to trap us in corners. We were getting the ball out of and into our full forward line at pace.
Yeah.
And when you have the likes of Schieffer and Danielle and girls like that inside, and Jane and Lucy, you got to make use of them. And to be fair, Kerry are doing that at the moment. So looking forward to now Sunday. I think it's a fantastic occasion. You know, from our somber mode at the moment, we'll be hoping now the build up for the week leading up to it. You know, it's something to look forward to, and hopefully we'll be coming down the road with the Brendan Martin, because it would give the county a good lift. You know, and no better than our ladies to give our county a good lift.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And John, I'm sure the appeal that a lot of Green and Go went up this week, in fairness, in the build up to All-Ireland, it's been all over the place. There's Kerry flags up everywhere. A good appeal, I'd imagine, across the county to leave them up and support this ladies team, because to be fair, they face a lot of adversity this year with different things, especially through that league campaign, and have really turned it on now come the summer, and a really good turnout in Assateague Park to support them as well for that quarter final, the home quarter final. And I'd imagine big support going up. So a good appeal, I'd say, for the county to stay behind the green and gold for another week.
Yeah, like Liam said, the mood can change very quickly. Leave the flags up, put up more if we can, and you know, get behind this ladies team, because they're there on merit. It's going to be a tough game, but like Liam said, the leaders out there, particularly I think our full forward line, we're going really well. Niamh Cambridge is a great semi-final, she's flying, and mm-hmm. like Emma Costello and Aisling O'Connell, you know, they're playing some great stuff. They're playing heads up football, and you know, I think what we saw throughout the league, transformation, we're going at it, and you know, it's 60 minutes, and hopefully that, like you said, the Brendan Markham will be coming down the road.
Yeah, Galway are sort of favourites again, not really 100% convinced why Liam come into. I know they beat a strong Armagh side, but it was an Armagh side that struggled against Kildare in their home quarter final as well, and we saw how Kerry put Kildare to the sword during the campaign, so it's kind of been strange from all sides. So Kerry with every chance to go up to Croke Park, and a lot of these girls will have experienced 2024 as well, so that's kind of, that won't faze them going up there again.
Without a doubt, Evan, and favourites now after yesterday kind of goes out the window in a lot of our books. You know, it's whatever team shows up and plays, you know, on the day will get over the line. And I just think that no, like I said, it's going to be a ding dong battle, two very athletic teams, and like John said there, the Kerry girls are on the field. Niamh Carmody had a fantastic semi-final as well. No, but there's one girl I must mention, Anna Galvin. No, she's out with an ACL. No, it's a tough break for her, a tough break for the Kerry team, because she was a leader around the middle of the field. You know, and you know, to get so far 2 weeks within an All-Ireland final and to miss out, you know, but I'm sure the girls will rally around. They'll be doing that. You should be going out and try to do it for Anna. And then the other girl, Emma Costello. No, it's fantastic to see her run out in the All-Ireland final. She missed out in the 2024, you know, and I think this would be the icing in the cake for her. And but our full back line, that's a crowd I have to mention: Roisin Riley, Deirdre Kearney, and Ailish Lynch. Outstanding all year.
Yeah.
You know, they're all year out. I don't know. I haven't seen any really full forward line that really had bothered these three girls, you know, throughout the year. And I think that's really the backbone of the Kerry team. And it's like anything, if you have a good defence and you move the ball at speed and you get it into your forward line, you know, you have a chance. And the open spaces in Croke Park, this is where the footballers will come to the fore. And I think we have girls that can do that for us on Sunday.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the very, very best of luck to Mark Burke and all the girls in the final on Sunday. So that there'll be full review coverage of that and of the County Hurling Final. A busy Sunday next weekend as well. Lads, thanks very much for everything all year on the inter-county stage. Don't worry, don't rest for too long. We've got plenty of club championship, county championship. Look forward to, hopefully, we'll have clubs going all the way to All-Ireland. One last text before we go. It comes from a Mayo listener. This one's for you, Andrew. He goes, fair play to Andrew Moynihan. Predicted a 4-point win for Mayo. They won by 3 in the end. The slip of the tongue might have jinxed us last Monday night from Andrew. But,
all Andrew's fault.
All a bit of fun. And well done again to Mayo. Huge achievement. 75 years without it, I'm sure. They'd enjoy Sam Maguire. So we'll be back again next Monday evening from 6 to 8. Mary Conroy's up next. Thanks to Connell, who stood in on sound this evening. I said we'll be back next Monday evening with the review of the two big finals.